All right. It is going to be okay. Do you believe that? Yeah, it's going to be better than we think. That's really true. The Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says we are more than conquerors. Paul had to come up with a whole new word there. He came up with the word called Hooper Nike, super victorious. That's what you are. You're not a victim. Say it. I'm not a victim. I'm victorious. Say it again. I'm not a victim.
Perfect.
I'm victorious. See, you are going to discover real soon what the devil meant for bad, God's going to turn for good. The Bible's true when it says all things work together for good. Say all. All things. You say, you mean the tragedy and the traumas that we're facing, God can get some good out of it? Absolutely. It's already happening. The whole world is talking about fellowship, people helping one another. You don't hear much about racism at all. That's working for good. It really is. It's snuffing out and smothering out a spirit of racism, isn't it? Love covers what? A multitude of sin. And I'm telling you what, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people risking their own lives to save others, and that's wonderful. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the generosity of people. And I'm thankful. I've watched these big old rednecks loading up their trucks, taking off down there, trying to help. We've watched a little housewives buying stuff in the Walmarts, trying to get it on these trucks, loaded up. Listen, God loves that thing when we start working together. Isn't it kind of a shame that we have to have a tragedy to get us to work together? Wouldn't it be greater if we just learned how to do that normally in day-to-day life? We just synchronize together and we're always trying to help others get to a higher level than you and I are. That's what we need to do, isn't it? Yes, say yes. I love it what it says about Jesus. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he's faithful. He's faithful all the time. Even when we're unfaithful, he's faithful. Well, Pastor Beal, we're glad to be here. Got the name changed from the church. That's good. Cathedral. The Austin Cathedral. Cathedral of Austin, whatever you've got it. Listen, I don't care what title you put on it just so God shows up. You can name it anything, but if God doesn't show up, it's just empty. But boy, when he shows up, names don't matter. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's wonderful. That's what we want to do. Lord Jesus, we want to lift you up. We want every human being drawn to you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to realize that by you and through you and in you, we have life. And without that, there is no life. There's nothing lasting without you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see how foolish it is to build upon sand when we could build upon the solid rock. Lord, help us to realize if we build our life on sand, the winds will come, the rains will fall, and great will be the devastation of the house. But if we build our house upon the solid rock of your teachings, the rains will come, the winds will blow, but the house will stand. Say this, my house will stand. Listen, it's wonderful, isn't it, that we have that promise. It says the winds will come, the rains will fall, but your house will stand. Wow. Impervious, say it, impervious. When you build in Christ, no storm can blow you over. I'll tell you what, that's really true. I am really trying to get something in your heart today. If God be for us, and he is, you can't find better evidence that God is for you than to see him give his own son for our sins. Greater, say greater. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Aren't you glad that God calls us friends? John 15:15, he said, I don't refer to you as a servant. I refer to you as a friend. Wow. Well, anyway, got some wonderful things I want to talk about today. But I appreciate being here. We've been coming for years and years and years, but we're glad to be here. And I'm glad to see what God's up to. He's up to some good things. One time Jesus Christ walked up to me and said, Bobby, I give you my personal permission to attempt to exaggerate what I'm about to do. That's what he told me. He walked right straight up to me and said, I give you my personal permission to attempt to exaggerate what I'm about to do. So I said to him, being a preacher, I need a verse for that. And he said to me, no problem, Ephesians 3:20-21. That verse says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or dare to imagine. Listen, if we would start thinking about how big God can do, how marvelous he is, it'll get us away from stinking thinking. I was laying in bed this morning thinking about what are some of the mindsets you and I need to grasp a hold of today. Because for days now, we've been inundated with seeing the tragedies and traumas and the floods and the devastation. But we need to set our mindset upon something a little bit different than that. Joel 2:25 would be a good mindset. Joel 2:25, it's a shout. It's a thunder from heaven. Here's what it is. God speaking, I will restore, declares the Lord. I will restore. I will restore. It didn't say he might or there's a good possibility. I will restore. God is a God of restorations. The Bible said the heavens must contain Christ until the restorations of all things spoken by the mouths of the prophets. Say restoration. We need to understand God can set everything right, and he can set it back better than it was before it was destroyed. Say restoration. I like that. I like that. He's going to restore. So I hope you'll visit the book table after a while when we get through. The Lord said, I want you to write books, and I want you to write books that will be tools and things that will help my people to grow and assume the responsibility and the destiny I've carved out for them. Here's one. I love this one. This is a second edition of this thing called Master's Plan, Divine Design. One thing you and I need to understand, you're not a biological burp. What in the world is that? Now, biological means study of life. Burp means what? Something that slipped out that you think you have to be apologetic about. That's not what you are. There's no such thing in the world as an unwanted pregnancy. No such thing in the world as an unwanted pregnancy. God is the author of every life spurned on this earth. And I'm telling you guys, here's the Master's Plan, Divine Design. We need to understand that before you were you, God created things for you to do. That is unbelievable. Before you were created, God created things for you to do. You say, where is that? Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we'd conduct ourselves in them. I studied Ephesians 2:10 in every English translation of the Bible I could find on earth. I'm telling you, it is stunning. Here's one of them. You're the best God could do to display who he is. One says, you're his stroke of genius to display his God deeds. I like that, don't you? Because see, the devil goes, who do you think you are? I'm the best God could do. We need to get rid of stinking thinking. And we need to start thinking about us like God thinks about us. Watch this. I'm going to give you a little preview of coming attractions. The next great move of God coming to this earth is when we discover we're heirs to the kingdom. You watch this. In the next few months coming, the body of Christ will learn more about moving from mere servants to sons. The message hell hates more than any message on earth. The message hell hates more than any message on earth is the message of sonship. But the Bible said the whole creation is groaning and travailing, wanting us to step into our true identity. Romans 8:19 says the whole creation is groaning, travailing, wanting us to step into our true identity as the manifested sons of God. See, the devil doesn't mind you knowing some things in the head just so you don't live it in your life. The manifested sons of God. Bible said it this way, it doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And the word like him means precisely like him. Remember what Jesus said? As my Father is sending me, I am sending you. Wow. We're going to understand there's more to being heir than we understand. We are joint heir with Jesus Christ. Anything and everything Jesus has, you and I have joint heirship to it. Wow. We start legislating from that seat, it'll change how we look at things down here. Yeah, well, anyway, I hope you'll get the Master's Plan, Divine Design. It says, it is he that has qualified us and not we ourselves. It is he that has made us fit ministers. So I really want you to look at this. I like that. I like the fact that God is molding our lives. Oh, years ago, I lived up there in East Texas, and a whole bunch of these, hippies back then moved to Edom, Texas. That most of them are still living. Those that ain't dead, they're still up there. But anyway, Edom, it's very artistic. And they brought in artists and sculptures. And they brought in a sculpture. And so one day, I wanted to go over there. I was studying about the book of Jeremiah where it said, go down to the potter's house, da, da, da. So I go to watch this sculpture make this pot. Oh, Lord. It took forever. They'd take the mud and throw it on a wheel, put water on it, da, 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 da. I thought, oh, Lord, I didn't know it was going to take this long. And worked and worked and worked and worked on the mud ball till it got it to a certain consistency and had it spinning on the wheel. And then she took her hand and goes, and that thing, the most beautiful vase just stood up. That's what God's doing with your life. He's got us on the potter's wheel. Our job is to stay moist and pliable. We get brittle, we'll get broken. We got to be soft and pliable. We got to have the moisture of the Word of God. You believe you're just a hunk of clay? Did you read the Bible? The word Adam means red dirt. God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. You can powder, paint it, pull it any way you want to, but it's still red mud. That's true. Yeah, well, anyway. I hope you'll visit the book table. Now, that's one of the books that's out there. And then here's one. Now, I like this one. For 22 years, in just a few days, it's going to be moving into September. And, we're already into September. In a few days after this week, we're going to go into the Day of Atonement. For 22 years on the Day of Atonement, I have a visitation from Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me. I'm either standing up here lying to you, or for 22 years on the Day of Atonement, I've had a visitation from Jesus Christ. He'll come tell me some of the things that's going to happen in the future, and I write in the book called The Shepherd's Rod. You write it a year in advance. Now, this one right here is the one for 2017, the year we're living right now. Here's what happened to me most of the time. Thank God, most of the time, I get to go to my home there in Moravian Falls, North Carolina. It's up in the mountains. They say you can see 100 miles any direction from my porch. I don't think that's true. But anyway, it's a good place. It's a place where they've had a 100-year prayer meeting 24 hours a day for 100 years, the Moravians had. They got the land where I built my house and deeded it to Jesus Christ back in the 1700s. I went and looked at the survey thing with my own eyes. It's a wonderful place for revelation. So that's where I get to go most of the time. But this one right here, the Lord said, I want you to go to South Africa. I said, oh Lord, speak to me in Moravian Falls. He said, I want you to go to South Africa. And I've learned this about God. The best thing you can ever do is obey Him. If I could give you any advice this morning to help you in your walk, it would be this: swift and complete obedience. Do as quickly as you can, as thoroughly as you can, anything God asks you to do. But anyway, my wife and I said yes. So we board a plane, go to Stellenbosch, South Africa. And we're there a few days. The Day of Atonement's coming, clicking just like that. And it's really nice where we're at. We're in a guest home overlooking a vineyard. And there's trees and it's beautiful. And it's nice and it's plush. And I thought, okay, this will be good. Then he says, I want you to go down to the airport, get on a plane, fly a couple of hours out to Trista or something like that. I get on the plane, we fly out there, get off the plane, get into some kind of a Land Rover, a vehicle that could go anywhere, and we drive for hours, several hours. It's hotter than you can imagine, way past 100 degrees through the bush. So we get stopped way out there at a place, and I get out. It is hotter than you could imagine. You barely can breathe. It's so hot. My shirt stuck to my skin. See, I could have been up the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina, but no, I'm somewhere miles out in the jungle, out in the bush in South Africa. It's hotter than blazes, and I'm there, and I'm just be honest with you, I'm whining. God, what am I doing here? You know, I mean, there's everything you can imagine. There's lions, tigers, there's stuff like that, warthogs and all of that. Anyway, I'm fussing. What am I doing here? He said, I've sent you here. And he said the word spearhead. I said, what do you mean? He said, point of the spear. You look up in any military campaign, it talks about spearhead, that advancing force that moves in to occupy. And so he said, what you get here will be a spearhead that'll go around the whole world. And I said, okay. Next thing I know, remember, I'm so hot, my shirt stuck to my skin. All of a sudden, the coolest breeze came. I looked at the trees, their leaves are dead still. But there's a coolest breeze around me. I thought, oh, man. But here it comes. Seven angels. Say seven. Seven angels came out of heaven and they stood around me. And that's what brought the cool wind. It's these angels came and they stood around me and they grasped hands and they started circling around me like this, Pastor. They started circling around me like this. And boy, the faster they circled, it caused a vortex. A vortex. But before I get to that, let me show you how we started out in this shepherd's rod. Here's the question the Lord asked me. This is on page 56. So here's the question he asked me. Who has stood in the courts of heaven to hear the counsel of God? This question is extremely powerful and probing. That's a question the Lord asked me. Who has stood in the courts of heaven to hear the counsel of God? Now listen to me now. This is before all of this took place. This question is extremely powerful and probing. For this is Jeremiah 23 verse 18. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Now listen to what I wrote. This is days before I'm there in the jungle. Look what, in the bush. Here's what it says. With all my heart, I want to answer the above question with a truthful and positive, yes, I have. I have, by the grace of God, stood in the counsel of the Lord and his courts and perceived and heard his word. These days are too fragile and desperate to hear man's opinion and mere human agendas, but rather we must position ourselves to hear and heed the true words from God, from the courts of heaven and the council of heavens. Only then will we have divine strategies that produce the victories God has destined us to achieve. So now, remember, I said, God, I want to stand in your courts. Now, go with me and I'll show you where those seven go. Here's what those seven angels did. They started around me so fast it caused a vortex and sucked me up into heaven. I'm sucked up into heaven, escorted by seven whirling angels to a gate much bigger, massive times bigger than this building. And it's tall and it looks like it's made out of pearl and silver. I'll just read. I'm on page 143 now. And in this prophetic experience, I was ushered by seven huge, strong angels to a gigantic, I'm reading fast, Anna, to a gigantic, magnificent gate in the heavenly realm. This gate appeared to be made of pearl and inlaid with silver. It was enormous and brilliant. There were countless massive, majestic angels who stood guard at this gate, of this entrance of the gate. Now watch this. This is all amazing. Here I am. I'm standing here with seven angels, and they brought me this massive gate in heaven. And there's these marvelous angels. They stand way above the gates, and they look like Marines or something like this. These seven angels are fearful enough, but these guys are, they look mean and majestic. They're standing like this, and they're talking not to me. They're talking about me, and they look down at these seven angels, and here's what they said. Who have you brought to this gate? Talk about me. I had mixed feelings. I wanted to hide and turn to dust, and I wanted to hear what they said. Now, this is what they said. The question was, who have you brought to this gate? And here's what those angels said. They looked up to the guarding angels. The guiding angels looked up to the guarding angels and said, we've brought the friend of the king. And that's how I got entrance into the courts of heaven. You read this book, I'll talk to you about what happened in the courts of heaven. I want you to know one thing absolutely without doubt. You can stand firm on God. It's a God of justice. He's going to right every wrong. He's going to see that every atrocity has been dealt with. The devil's never going to get a sucker punch in. I saw angels by the trillions standing ready. Listen, the body of Christ is going to move into becoming sons of God where they can dispatch these soldiers of God. The most repeated name in the Bible for God is Lord of Armies. Say it, Lord of Hosts. That's the most repetitive name in your Bible. So I hope that you'll read this about me going into the courts of heaven. The Lord said, watch this. He pulled back the ram between this ram and the earthly ram. And he said, I'm going to show you, Bobby. And I saw a little frail woman. Skin and bones almost, just little and old, and she was down beside her chair praying. He said, Bobby, that little praying woman has more power than all the armies of the earth combined together. Wow. God looks at this thing totally different. He said, that little praying woman has more power than all the combined armies of the earth put together. We're going to get a new appreciation for prayer. Whatever we bind on earth will have been bound for us in heaven when we learn who we are. Well, anyway, visit the book table. Will you do that? Don't lie to me. I'm prophetic. I don't know if you're lying to me. Hurt my feelings. No. I believe it'll wreck your life in a good way if you'll read this book. Now, in just a few weeks now, the next Day of Atonement is going to be here. And I tell you what, I can already feel the atmosphere changing. We got to have clear, precise direction. We don't have an opportunity to make a, you know, listen, God wants us to walk in the light while He's in the light. Listen, so anyway, I want you to pray for us because I can already feel the rumblings, don't you? Have you ever been around a lightning storm and you can feel it before it happens? That's what it's going to be. Well, anyway, that's not the message for today, but here is the message. Take your Bible. Turn with me to the book of Job. The book of Job today, and we're going to talk about anything and everything we've heard up until now is just a warm-up for what God wants to do. So we're going to Job chapter 26, Job chapter 26, starting with verse 13. Most Bible scholars believe that Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. And I believe that could be true. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just glad it's in here. Jesus came to me one time. He said, Bobby, suppose you've missed the whole meaning of the book of Job. Instantly, I knew I had. So, see, most people preach about Job. They preach about the bitter betrayal, the unfaithful friends, the calamity that happened. That's in there, but that's not the main message of the book of Job. The main message of the book of Job is the faithfulness of God. He started out the greatest man in the East and ended up seven times greater than that. So the whole message of the book of Job is not about a bunch of unfaithful friends. It's talking about the faithfulness of God. Anyway, so here we are. Job chapter 26, verse 13. By his breath, by God's breath, the heavens were garnished. That means, and all the stars were there, all the planets, all the Milky Ways, all of that. Wow. Wow. By his breath. Isn't that amazing? That's what it says. By his breath, the heavens were garnished. His hand pierced the swift fleeing serpent. That's pretty wild. Verse 14, this is where you need to look at. Now, I'm reading out the classic Amplified version of the Bible. Back in 2015, they came up with a new Amplified Bible. I don't like it at all. It's not near as good as the classic. Say classic. If you're going to buy an Amplified Bible, get the classic version. APC, you know, anyway. Say classic. That's what I'm reading out of. Now, anyway. By his breath, the heavens were garnished. By his hand pierced the swift fleeing serpent. Verse 14, yet these are but a small part of his doing. The outskirts of his ways are the mere fringes of his force, the faintest whisper of his voice. Who dares contemplate or who can understand the thunder of his full magnificent power? Now, here's what that verse is literally saying. All that you know about God up until now, all that you heard about Him, all that you've seen about Him, all that's been revealed to you about God is wonderful and marvelous. Hang on to it. But here's how that verse came to me. I was waiting before the Lord, thanking Him for all the experiences I'd had, all the unfurlings of His wonderful dealings in my life for all these years. And that's what I was doing. And he came to me and he said in the boldest term, you ain't seen nothing yet. And he gave me that verse. All that we have seen up until now, all that we have heard is but the mere fringes of his force. And it's the slightest whisper of his voice. Wow. Look at your neighbor and say, the best is yet to come. That's pretty amazing. Think about it. Everything you've heard about God, everything you've read about God, everything you've experienced about God is but the faintest whisper, the mere fringes of His force. Wow. Now, I want to talk to you about some of the things that are coming. Here's what's coming. You ready? Here's what's coming. Habakkuk 1:5. Look among the nations. God will work in your day. It'll be so marvelous, so magnificent, so awe-inspiring. You barely can comprehend it. That's what it says. I like that. There's a move of God coming to earth, according to Psalms 126, verse 1. Be so marvelous, so magnificent, that even the heathen, those that hate God, will go, oh, do you see what God did? Psalms 126, verse 1 says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, then were we like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. So there's coming a move of God that's going to cause the nations to begin to talk about the goodness of God. You can see a prototype of it in the book of Daniel. The pagan Satan-worshipping king finally says, there is no God on
in heaven, but the God of Daniel. That's a pretty good testimony, don't you think? So here we go, talking about some of the things that's going to happen. The Lord came to me and he said, I've got an assignment for you. I said, okay. So I said, okay. He said, now it's an assignment I want you to do. Now, we talk like that, the Lord and I do. He said, I got an assignment for you. I said, good. And he said, it's an assignment I intend for you to do. I said, I will. I'll take on the assignment. And then he said, oh, by the way, it's going to take you endless eons of eternity to get it done. And then you still won't be done. I have an assignment for you. And I want you to do it. Yes, I will, God. Oh, by the way, it's going to take you endless eons of eternities to accomplish it, and then you won't even be done. I said, okay, where is it? And he said, oh, it's Romans. Say it. Romans chapter 11, starting with verse 33. Listen to Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unfathomable, inscrutable, and unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions, how untraceable and mysterious and undiscoverable are his ways, his methods, his paths. Oh, man. He said, I want you to get to know all about me. And then he says, there's so much about me, you can't understand it all. You can't get to the bottom of it. You can't get to the end of it. Do you see that? Watch this. Verse 34 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has understood his thoughts, or who has ever been his counselor? Verse 35, or who has first given to God anything that he might be paid back, or that he could claim a recompense? Verse 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things, for all things originate with him and come from him, and all things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and to end in him. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Say this. I need to get to know God. That's one of the things he wants to do. Job says, acquaint now thyself with God, be at peace, and good will come unto you. So, how are we going to get to know this God that says he's so big, so broad, so magnificent, you can't get to know him? You just start out getting all you can from him. Here's a great verse about it. Okay, you ready? Isaiah 40, 3 through 5. That's one of my favorite verses. I like it. Isaiah 40, 3 through 5. Here's what it says. And I'm a living example of this verse. The voice of one in the wilderness crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway. Lower the mountains, fill in the valleys. Make the crooked way straight. Pick up the stumbling stones. And then verse 5 says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, because the mouth of the Lord declared it. There's coming a move of God on the earth that declares, every eye will see the glory of God. Every eye on the earth will see the glory of God. Wow. That's it. Isaiah 40, 3 through 5. The voice of one in the wilderness crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. It's pretty sad. Many churches are just preparing the way for their own fellowship, for their own ministry. No, we're supposed to be preparing the world for this invasion of God. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway. Lower the mountains. What's a mountain? A high thing. Pulling down every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then he says, filling in the valleys. What's a valley? Low place. Filling in those valleys. Pulling down the mountains. Filling in the valleys. Making the crooked way straight. Talking about integrity. Moving the stumbling stones out of the way. All of that is Isaiah 40, 3 and 4. But Isaiah 40, verse 5 says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all, say all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has declared it. Wow, I like that. It in Habakkuk 2:14. Listen, Habakkuk 2:14. It says, and the glory of God will cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. Is the sea covered with water? Yes. This verse says the whole earth is going to be covered with what? Habakkuk 2:14. The whole earth, the whole world will be filled with the glory of God, covered with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. What we're talking about now, everything we've seen up to now is just the beginning. Everything we've heard up to now is just the mere fringes and the faintest whisper of his voice. And I like that little challenge at the end. Who could dare stand under the full thunder. Wow. I don't know. Some people, they're selling themselves short. If you think you've seen all God's going to do. And then there's some people, you know, they're not ready for the fight. The Bible says it this way. If the foot going to have wore you out, what is going to happen to you when the horseman comes? If you're already weary with the battle, just by what we've gone through, what are you going to do when the real war starts? If the footmen have wore you out, what are you going to do when the horseman comes? We better find out. This thing is a battle, isn't it? But I told you last night, we're fighting from victory, not for victory. Our elder brother has already finished that. Remember, he was up on the cross and he cried out, "It's finished!" That's a farming term. It's a very compacted term. It literally says, everything that should have been done is totally done. Nothing's left undone that needed to be done. Say this with me, complete. I mean, in Jesus Christ, everything is consummated. Everything is complete. He is the head of all principalities and powers. Aren't you glad? Listen, there's coming this coronation of who really Jesus really, really is. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess He is the Lord. Wow. I'm telling you guys, the world detests what they know about Jesus. The world, they don't like for you to put up a nativity scene, do they? I've seen cities try to sue churches for putting up a nativity scene on Christmas. They'll tolerate it, though, if you just push it. See, a little baby in a bassinet is not very threatening. They don't want to see crosses put up, do they? But a suffering lamb up on a tree is not very threatening. He was baby in a bassinet. He was a suffering lamb upon a tree, but he's neither right now. Who is he now? King of glory. Who is he now? He has eyes as a flame of fire, hair as white as wool, feet as fine brass. Well, the next time we encounter him, we'll see him as King of glory. Wow. Okay. It's okay. Take your Bible. Do you got one? Go with me now, just a moment now. Well, go with me to Colossians. Say Colossians chapter 1. And let's look, if you will, verse 15, Colossians 1:15, talking about getting to know in deeper detail this Savior, this Jesus by whom all things consist and for whom all things consist. I mean, Colossians, an angel came to my house and said, tell the body of Christ they'll learn more about the ministry of the Master from the book of Colossians than any other book in the Bible. So that's when I started on a deep inside search of the book of Colossians. Because this angel said, tell the body of Christ, they'll learn more about the ministry of the Master from the book of Colossians than any other book in the Bible. So, listen to this. Colossians 1:15. It tells us that Christ, well, I'll read it. Now he, Jesus Christ, is exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. Verse 16. For it was in him being Jesus Christ, for it was in Jesus Christ that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether they be thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created and exist through him by his service, intervention, and in all is in him. I like that. Verse 17, and he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere, and are held together. That's the word we get super glue from, that word right there. That's the absolute truth. All things cohere and hold together because he's who he says he is. Remember when he died upon the cross, what happened to the earth? It started to tremble and unravel because he that held it together had given up his life. Wow. All things hold together by him. Verse 18. And he also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. Wow. I saw hands chiseling something across heaven like you chisel something into stone. I watched the chips fall. I watched the words appear. And here's what it says. The centricity of Christ. The whole message of the church is going to be centered around Jesus. Say centricity. The centricity of Christ. That's what God is chiseling across heaven. Every pastor, every leader that has his face towards heaven is going to start centering their message around Christ. Boy, listen. He's the chief one. By him all things consist. Don't you like that? Yeah, I like that. Watch this. That was verse 18 we just read. Let me read that again. He also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything, in every respect, might occupy the chief place, stand first and preeminent. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father. Well, let me read it. For it pleased the Father that all, say all, the divine fullness, the sum total of divine perfection, powers, attributes, should dwell in him permanently. Everything God is dwelling in Christ permanently. Wow, that's pretty wild, isn't it? Now, here's a great verse. Everything that Christ is in you. Colossians 2:10. Wow. Flip over there and let's read Colossians 2:9 just for a moment. Colossians 2:9. Look what it says. Colossians 2:9. For in him, Jesus Christ, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of his divine nature. And then look at verse 10. This is what God is moving in your life to accomplish. Verse 10. And you are in him made full and have come to fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of the rule and authority of every angel, principality, and power. And you are complete in him. That just simply says everything God is in Christ. Verse 9. Then verse 10 says everything Christ is in you. We've got to shake off this misunderstanding of who we are. Well, brother, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, that's what you were. But now you've moved into an heir of the kingdom of God. You've been translated out of one kingdom into another kingdom. Listen, and we got to get this new appreciation of all that God can do. Wow. I like that, don't you? I keep liking this places where it says the whole earth. It's going to be filled with the knowledge of his glory. Where's it going to come from? Where's this from you and I? They're going to see us and see him. Wow. Wow. We're going to get so full of Jesus. They're going to see him in us. That's what happened to Paul. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Wow. Now I'll tell you my goal. My goal is to get so full of Jesus, the devil looks and he can't tell whether it's Bobby or Jesus. That's the absolute truth. Wow, you hide yourself in him and let him push himself through. That's the goal, isn't it? To present him, represent him. Remember, he's came to make an invisible God known. And now he's saying, as my Father sent me, I'm saying to you, we're to make an invisible God known. How do we do that? By letting our light shine. Oh, man, you've got to understand, you preach a better message with your life than your lips. Listen, if your life doesn't back it up, I don't care what your lips say, it'll fall on deaf ears. It's better seen than heard. And that's what we're seeing take place around the coast. We're seeing real Christianity at work. Listen, he said, if you see the hungry and you don't feed them, he said their ears won't be open to the gospel. Wow. But then, listen, we got to do both, haven't we? We got to help the natural and get to the supernatural. Wow. Wow. I like the supernatural, don't you? I'm telling you, it's so sad. Some churches are afraid to move into the supernatural. Here's what I tell them. I think you've disqualified yourself from being a New Testament church. If you don't have signs and wonders, I think you've disqualified yourself from being a biblical New Testament church. Because it says in what? Acts 16:20, the early church went out and preached, and God validated and vindicated with signs following. So anyway, we've given you enough information to think about some stuff. Number one, what we've seen up to now is just the fringe. I don't know about you, but I hear a challenge there, don't you? Let's move on into maturity. Hebrews 6:1 says, don't lay again the elementary, rudimentary principles of Christianity. Move past that. Hebrews 6:1 says, I intended to write to you concerning the common salvation. That's what he said in the book of Jude. Those elementary rudimentary principles of Hebrews 6. He said, that was my intention. But then he said, wow, Jude, I was compelled, I was possessed to write to you that you'd earnestly put up a fight for the faith. I like that, don't you? We're called to put up a fight for the faith.
Why?
Certain men have crept in unawares, teaching you it doesn't matter how you live, just live however you want to. Well, it does matter, doesn't it? We got to get bold and brave and very courageous, I think. We're called to be victorious, not, oh, well, I don't want to upset anybody. You think you're going to get the kingdom with that kind of mentality? The Bible said the kingdom of heaven does what? Suffers violent, and the violent seize it by force. Well, anyway, we got some good friends here. Got my two sons, and got Brandon, the grandson. Got Todd and Cole, they're here. They got up at 6 or 4 or something this morning and drove in for the meeting. And so, listen, I'm telling you, God has prophetic anointing in this room if you want to hear it. Got Terry Witherspoon here. He drove where he came from, Lubbock. Is it Lubbock? I tell you, Lubbock's so flat you can see your dog run away for 3 days. That's not true. That's Lubbock. From East Texas myself. I like East Texas. Ah, man. You ever been to Goat Hill? There's a place called Cut and Shoot. You've been there, haven't you? I was on the way to Cut and Shoot one time. I stopped in Goat Hill. This is in your lifetime. Some sex offender had raped a little kid, so the guys castrated him, tied him down in an ant bed behind the dance hall, and let the fire ants eat him. That's in my lifetime and your lifetime. So I said, well, what about the law? He spits real hard. He said, ain't no law here. That's in my lifetime. But, you know, that's a pretty good way to send out a message to the sex offenders, isn't it? Caught him red-handed, molesting a little kid, so they tended to business themselves. Jerked him up and castrated him, tied him naked in an ant bed, and the red ants finished the rest. Now, I'm not condoning that, but I'm not condemning it either. Wow. That's our problem. We got people trying to say, well, it doesn't matter whatever sex you were born, just whatever you feel like you are today, just go into any urinal you want to, any bathroom. That's crazy thinking. Any father going to let their little daughter wander in a bathroom with some sex pervert that don't even know who he is? You must be insane. And we shouldn't even negotiate and talk about stuff like that. But they're debating it, aren't they? Charlotte's screaming like somebody at their tail in the door. Look how much money we're losing. If you're going to capitulate to some kind of stuff like that, you don't deserve to be called a Christian. If what you have is not worth fighting for, listen, that's why he said earnestly contend for the faith. I dare you to read the book of Jude again. Shouldn't take long, just one page. But it says we're supposed to, how to respond in the last days. We're going to have to stand up for truth. Yes. Well, now, what about socially? You know, they're squealing about transgenders not being able to join the military. I'm for that. I'm certainly not for us paying for their sex. What do they call it now? Yeah, twisted is right. Yeah, sex readjustment, reassignment. Yes, you know, I'm not for that. Sex reassignment, and you're paying for it. Yeah, you better be paying for some Scud missiles to knock down. What's happening in North Korea? 2003 on the Shepherd's Rod, I wrote about it. If you can read, you can read it. I said, North Korea's a ticking time bomb. It must be dealt with and diffused. And the church has the power to do that. But see, the church goes, well, you know, I don't know. That's a way over there. That guy is insane and demonic. You understand that? Kim, whatever his name is. Listen, these guys are not dealing with the full deck. They will throw a bomb over here as quick as they can get it made. And we go, now, Bobby, we've heard about all that. That guy is insane and demonic. You understand that? So I have power in Jesus' name to bind the insane and demonic. So I stand here in Austin, Texas today, and I bind his demonic power. I ask God to deal with him. Save him or remove him. Save him or remove him. Well, no, I don't know about that now. Oh, have you studied about angels? Listen, you can send them on assignments. Yeah. So I'm asking God today, what is this, September the 3rd or 2nd? September the 3rd, 2017. I'm asking God of heaven, save him or remove him. Okay. So I'm expecting some news from North Korea. Okay, you say, you don't believe. Oh, you better watch it. I stepped out of a study, took a seat right on the front row. Three rows back were three strong witches there. I said, God, what are you going to do about that? He said, I want you to stand up here. When you start to preach, call them out and stand up and say, I'll give you the sunrise you had today, two other sunrises. If you don't repent, God will kill you. This is a public meeting. You'll have the sunrise you had today and two other sunrises. If you don't repent, God will kill you. In a public meeting, now mark this down. That week, one repented and two were dead. You better watch out. I'm telling you. These people playing around with witchcraft, trying to come into church, we're going to see people drop dead in the house of God. I've seen it happen. I was preaching up there and a coven marched in like they... Idiots. Marched in and I said, what are you doing here? They said, we're here to stop this meeting. I said, you can't stop this meeting. This is a Holy Ghost meeting. So I picked out the leader. I said, you running this thing? Yes. I said, well, do what you're doing to stop it because here I am. She's still in the little curses. Might as well have been chucking spitballs. I said, are you through? And I'm still standing. And I do like this, and she's knocked up in there, falls down, eyes rolling in the back of her head. She's rolling around on the carpet like a stuck pig, screaming like you can't even. So I said to her, Coven, this is your leader? She's throwing all her stuff. I'm still standing. She's rolling on the floor like a stuck pig. And you're still going to follow that? They pick her up, trying to get her out of the door, get all the way to the back door. And on the way out, there's a blonde-headed girl that's with them. And I said, Sarah, I called her name. I said, God's going to release you from this web you've caught yourself in. 2 days later, Sarah comes back. She's whiter than a sheet. I said to her publicly, where you been? Then I answered my question. Oh, you've been to a memorial service. One of your coven members cocked a 357 and blew the back of his head off, didn't he? That's where Sarah had been. Let me tell you about the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. You play around with Harry Potter if you want to. But the guys behind it is death and destruction. We're going to have to get a little more bold than what we are. Well, you know, I read the Bible. It says, I don't even suffer a witch to live, let alone build a theme park. Most read book among children in America is Harry Potter. Wow. You look at the movies. Crazy may have said it. Because the church goes, well, you know, I don't think, you know, let's be a little more logical, brother. Good Lord. God starts pulling the lid off the real supernatural, it's going to stun you. I told you a few years ago, these hybrid beings of Genesis 6 are here. I've seen them with my own eyes. Wow. If what you've seen has frightened you, you better get out of church. I'm telling you what, the church is the only place to get. Get under the wing of the Lord. Under His pinions. Well, anyway, let's. Y'all want to do, what do you want to do? There's prophetic ministry in here if you want it.
Well, I want somebody to say, it's okay, I'm all right, don't worry.
Now, let me tell you, the church is not in very good shape. We got to drop a lot of weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Don't you think? How's it going to happen? Well, Todd's traveled with me all over the country. Todd McGee, stand up, Todd. Todd McGee. He's got a buddy with him, Cole. Stand up, Cole. Well, these guys. Now, let me tell you, and I'll vouch for Todd 100%. I'll vouch for him 100%. Whatever he'd say to you, it'd be the same thing I'd say to you. So maybe you say, well, when we dismiss, maybe I'll look those guys up and see if they might have a prophetic word for me. Do it. They don't mind it. But don't stand there if you don't want to hear. Can I give you one more horror story? Well, sure, Bobby. Mahesh Yadav was in on this. We were doing a conference with Morningstar, Mahesh Yadav, John Paul Jackson, Paul Kane, Rick Joyner, and we was in the barn out there at the PTL, and they'd line all the people up like a shopping mall. And they could come by, here we are, here I am, here's Rick, here's Paul, here's John Paul Jackson, here's this one. And so they could come to any line they wanted to get a prophetic word. So here I am. Here comes a guy right here. There's a woman right here beside him with a big black eye. So I looked at him. Now he's there for a prophetic word. He's a pastor of a church. I said to him, what are you doing with her? He goes, well, she's my youth director. No, what are you doing with her? He says, well, God has told us that I'm to leave my wife and she's to leave her husband. And we're to come together and it'll make our ministry stronger. Then I said to her, you was kicked out of bed last night and your eye hit the coffee table on the way to the floor, correct? Can you imagine a pastor come to a prophetic meeting, want a prophet to say to him, oh, it's okay, go ahead and leave your wife, have an adulterous affair with the youth director, and God will bless your ministry. My last words to that pastor was this, don't lead this woman to her death. Wow. Wow. I stood up one night to preach. And I said, well, before I preach, there's some people in here. You intend to go out in the parking lot and fornicate. Now, that's not the way you start a message. People did just like you did. They gasped. But guess what happened? Later on, I get a letter and it says, we had planned to meet in a rendezvous during the message time. It's dangerous to come to the house of God playing like that. Do you read the book of Acts? Ananias and Sapphira, they got snuffed just about lying about the offering. Wow. God whacked them right in church. Well, brother, I they tell us we're under grace now. That makes it all the more dangerous. I read the book of Hebrews. We're doing despite to the spirit of grace. Wow. That's a bad thing to do. There's ministries mocking the Holy Ghost right now. Here's what it says about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. It says, it won't be forgiven you in this world, nor the world that's coming. I'm mad about that. I'm mad that we've let this linger this long and not dealt with it. Guys can leave their wives, have an adulterous affair, and never miss an appointment in the pulpit. I tell the leaders, if we continue to allow this contamination to spread through the body of Christ, it'll be almost irreversible. You go, well, what do you think we need to do? Let's start with 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us purify ourselves from every bit of the contamination of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the reverential fear of the Lord. One translation says, let us bring our consecration to full completeness. That'd be a good place to start. How do we do it? We start like this. Search me, O God, and try me. See if there be any wicked way and lead me in a way that's everlasting. See, if we're going to get this glory that we just talked about, it's going to have to come up on clean vessels. Don't you think? Well, you guys willing to give them prophetic words? You can find you a spot. And like I said, I'll vouch for him 100%. And I'm telling you, God wants us to hear a word from heaven. Here's what I tell people. If you go to the doctor with a broke arm and he says your ear's all right, get another doctor. See what I'm talking about? We got to quit living with misdiagnosis. We're in a big mess, but we got a good, good God. Yes. He's going to pull it off. You believe it? And you said you're 17? So what's your goal? You got a goal? Yeah. That's a tough question to ask a 17-year-old kid. Have you dreamed about anything? Or you like to make films. There's a minister out there loose, old Sean Bolts. A lot of people in the arts ministry, they come to him. But listen, if that's a dream and you'll honor God with it, the Bible said God will give you the desires of your heart. That's really true. Yeah. I'll tell you what. If there's any entrepreneurial people in here that you want to see something, the what's going to take over what used to be the seminaries is these goggles, these virtual reality goggles. Some Christian's going to get the idea to animate the Bible stories in these goggles, and that'll be the new coming wave of seminary. Saying that, who's going to try to contaminate it? Who? The devil. And he's going to try to contaminate. I'm telling you, that is activating two gates, the eye gate and the ear gate. You've seen those goggles, can't you? You put it on. You've seen the response? Now, see, the devil knows about this too. So the pornography industry is working night and day to pollute this thing. But church, some Christian's going to come up with, and remember the movie Avatar? The Lord said, I'm going to use the mechanics of that movie, not the movie, but the mechanics of it to train my people. So somebody's going to get this about how to use that kind of full-time animation and tell the Bible stories with it. Wow. Well, that'll be good. Lord, do that. Now, if you're any entrepreneurial person in here, here's what God said to tell you. There's always a better way to do anything. Anything that's been done once, there's a better way to do it. God said, I'm releasing new ways of doing old things. New ways of doing old things. A guy was running a piece of blue duct tape like that, paint tape, and he heard my voice. There's a new way of doing old things. He said, are you talking to me? God said, yes, I am. While he's running a line of blue paint tape, and he got the formula for frog tape. Have you seen frog tape? It's outselling blue tape here and there. Wow. New ways of doing old things? Well, you know, I'm not very, Wow. If you can't get after the little thing, you won't embrace the big thing. Everything God does, he does first with a token to get you to the treasure. Moses saw a bush burning token, got the treasure leading the children of Israel out. John the Revelator heard a voice, token, got the privilege of writing the book of Revelation that we're studying. The little thing. If we can't esteem the token, we won't embrace the treasure. Everything God does, he starts with the little thing. Do you believe it? Where are you from? Here? Good. What's your name?
Nathan.
Yes, sir. Bless you. How old are you? 22. That's wonderful. I don't know. Well, I just got married when I was 22, I think. Let me count. I think I've been married 53 years this year. Now, that's pretty wild. That's pretty wild to the same woman. Yeah. I hear some pastors go, well, you know, I've been married 52 years. 12 to Ethel, some to Lorraine. Listen, I've read the Bible. It says what God joins together, don't let anybody pull apart. Well, we've got to go. I'm wearing out my time. Plus, we may go eat some Mexican food or something. A barbecue. Are we going to wean him off those peppers? He's big old jalapeno peppers like a carrot, like a rabbit would eat a carrot. Oh, man. I'm sweating watching him. I've not even eaten a jalapeno. Him and George Ann Banoff and Mahesh Yadav. Mahesh Yadav can eat the hottest stuff you've ever seen in your life. I was eating with Mahesh one time and I said, whoo, this is hot. Mahesh goes, no, brother, this is hot. And he pulled out a jar out of his briefcase. This is true. He shook out a little bit and I took a toothpick and touched the toothpick and put it here and my whole side of my face went numb. This is the honest to God truth. He said, now that's hot. I don't know what it was. I don't want to know what it was. But anyway, I want to pray for you, okay? Here's what I want to pray, that you will understand the days we're living in are unprecedented. We can push into the presence of God on a level nobody's known before. That's what it says. Lord, I want to thank you that you've given us open access to your presence. I thank you that Revelation 4:1 is a living reality. Now, after this, I heard a voice which said, come up here and I look, and there was a door standing open in heaven. I pray that every one of us in this room that would have this desire to go up and enter in and get into your presence, hear your plans for the future, and come back with a bold determination to see that this whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So have your way. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And we realize now we hadn't even started yet. We don't want to stay on the mere fringes. We want to get in the very center of the force of the move of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
All right. Hallelujah.
There's a wonderful anointing for the anointing if you want it. Psalms 92:10, anointing is stirring around here. Psalms 92:10 said, I will be anointed with fresh oil. That fresh oil will release my strength like that of a wild ox. Listen, if you come by through here, it'll jump on you. Here. Whoa, here, take this. See? Look out now. Listen, it's around here. That's in the Bible. It said he breathed upon them and said, what? Receive the Holy Ghost.